The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished his son to be called. He asked for a tablet, and he wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was freed, and he spoke out blessing God. Then fear came over all the neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. And all who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we are celebrating the birth of John the Baptist. Elizabeth and Zechariah lived in a place called Ein Kerem, which is now on the edge of Jerusalem, the southwest corner of Greater Jerusalem. It's in the foothills of the Judean hills, and very scenic. They're blanketed by vines. And I haven't been there for a few years. Normally, I don't take pilgrim groups there because it's a forbidding walk to go up to the mount top of the hills to visit the Church of the Visitation, which was the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's called Ein Kerem, which in Arabic means spring of the vineyard. It's a very beautiful area. And this is where the gospel reading is set for today. Every child is a miracle. So when this child was born, they praised God. But every child is a miracle, and every child is a mystery. There is no baby not beautiful. You look at a baby, everybody says, "Oh God, it's messianic." Every parent thinks their child is messianic. I mean, a miracle, a mystery. And the miracle and the mystery don't stop as the child grows. The miracle and the mystery continue to reveal God in some way throughout life. Soren Kierkegaard, the great Danish theologian, offers us this observation. He said, "In order to understand life, you have to look backwards. And in order to live life, you have to look forward. In order to understand yourself and the meaning of your life, you have to look backwards." That crossed my mind yesterday. It was the 29th anniversary of the death of Cardinal Manning, who lived here at Holy Family, as some of you will remember. And he was like my spiritual father. So I went to his grave yesterday, and I walked through the graves at Calvary Cemetery. And the stories of life came back to me. And I walked through this section dedicated just for priests called the Good Shepherd section, where the cardinal is buried. And I saw the names of all those priests, and many of them I knew, and they brought back all the memories. And looking back over my life, I began to understand myself, and I began to understand all those who went before me in a new and refreshing way. When we look back over those who have gone before us, we tend to do so with gratitude. Our spirit is more gracious, we tend to be more forgiving, our comments more kind, and we recover things that perhaps we wish we should have said while these people were still with us. But there's a certain kindness when we remembered our beloved dead. And that crossed my mind yesterday, remembering Kierkegaard, who said, when you look back, you begin to understand yourself in a new way, and you begin to understand that you are born of 1,000 people. You are born of your parents and your grandparents and their parents. You're born out of the sacrifices and the visions and the faith and the dreams of all those who have gone before us. We belong to generations. We belong gratefully, and we should celebrate looking back when we discover who we are. If ever you find a place in your life where you are despondent and you're confused and you go to a therapist who understands human behavior, the first thing the therapist will say, well, tell me the story of your life. I mean, where did you come from? What happened to you? Because when you look back, you begin to discover who you are. And that's probably true for each and every one of us. I tried to meet John the Baptist that way. Said, well, we know his life story, but let me look back over his life, his birth, but look back over his life and see the miracle and the mystery in this man's life. We are very impressed by the fact that he was the one chosen in God's providence to point out the Messiah. There is the Lamb of God. He was the one who, with great confidence and a certain kind of strength, proclaimed a gospel in the desert, called people to repentance. He was the one chosen in God's providence to baptize the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in the River Jordan. And we admired his great courage. He died a martyr's death. There's a very powerful image in this man. And yet, if you read through his life, as it appears in the Gospels, there are two very subtle references that are worth remembering. Chapter 11 in Matthew's Gospel, and in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. In these references, we are told that he is imprisoned. He is alone. And he wonders, he seems to doubt, and he wonders if Jesus is really the Messiah. So he sends two of his disciples to Jesus, say, to ask, are you really the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Now that he was once certain, now in an extraordinary, burdensome, difficult, lonely place, he appears to question whether in fact Jesus is truly the Messianic one. And Jesus says to John's disciples, go back and tell him what you see and what you hear. I cure the sick, give sight to the blind, give hearing to those who are deaf, touch lepers, raise the dead to life. Go back and tell him what you see and what you hear. That will convince him that I am the Messiah. And they go back and they tell him, and he dies a martyr's death, witnessing the Messiah, the one who healed and raised people from the dead. But now I'm impressed, not only by the strength of John the Baptist, but by his humanity. It is so impressive that he was revealing Jesus Christ when he was in darkness, when he was struggling, when he was in need, when he was in poverty and his spirit was crushed. Then he was revealing Jesus Christ. He was experiencing Jesus Christ in an extraordinary way which is never given to those who are certain. Pema Chodron, this Buddhist nun, in her book on certainty says, anxiety in life does not come from the lack of certainty. Anxiety comes because of the false presumption that we should have certainty. We have to live in a place of uncertainty and let the healing touch of the Messiah carry us. That's John's great witness. Now, therefore, when you're fully human, that's when you experience the Messiah, not when you think you're perfect, you're all holy, you're pious, you're angelic. You don't need the Messiah when you're like that. It's when you're human and broken and impoverished, that's when the Messiah becomes real to you. Not just to you, but to people around you. That's the moment in which God speaks to you through the poor, the immigrant, the refugee. God speaks to you. God becomes present to you. In times of crisis or darkness or struggle or questioning or wondering. Now, Mr. Rogers is in the news these days. We all remember Mr. Rogers. Well, there's this movie out there which is getting great acclaim. It's a documentary on Mr. Rogers. And one of his mantras, of course, was that one of the greatest gifts you have to give to another person is your honest self. I mean, your honest self. I mean, to reveal your honest self to another person, that's an extraordinary gift. It's a gift of confidence. And you hope that you have a place to share this gift of your honest self. That's a holy place, and that's the place where you experience the Messiah. And therefore, when I look backwards, I am grateful for all those who sacrificed for me. I am grateful for all those who struggled, for those who failed, for those who asked for my forgiveness, for those that I offended and forgave me, for the story of my life in which God, the Messiah, is revealed. The story of my life that carried me to this day. I look at my own life as 54 years as a priest, and I was pushed around and pulled and dragged, and I was sent to places I didn't want to go, and I went and so forth. But somehow, the mysterious weaving of God brought me to where I am today, a place of peace, no enemies. I'll talk to anyone, and somehow it's a grace given to me in my humanity. So keep that in mind. When you meet somebody who is truly and honestly human, God is revealed in that person. And when you yourself are honestly human, somehow that's when you experience God, and that's when you witness the Messiah. And of all the achievements of John the Baptist and of all his strengths, in reading his life, I found his questioning and his inquiry and his wondering the most impressive, the thing that I could relate to the most. I've never had the power and certainty of John the Baptist preaching in the desert. The axe is the root of the tree. You're going to be destroyed unless you be converted. I have never had that certainty in my life. I haven't had the certainty for myself or to preach it to anybody else. But it's in the poverty of being human that God is present to us. You want to keep that in mind. When the children begin to grow, the ones that was once, that child that was once a miracle, a mystery, is now still a mystery. Maybe not so much the miracle, but the mystery. And instead of blessing you, the one who burdens you and calls you to be generous and to be forgiving and to be understanding, it's a wonderful thing. God is present when we are honestly human. That's the gospel according to Mr. Rogers. Amen.